Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. Welcome back, everyone, to the QS Cast. I'm just going to jump right to it. We have a new, pretty much official co-host going forward. You've seen Morgan on the show. It is official. It's been pretty much official for like the last few weeks, but now it's official, official. Morgan Wentworth is joining the show permanently. So welcome to the show, Morgan. This is awesome.
Thanks. I'm
what
super
is up,
excited.
Morgan?
This is great. Well, it's a long time coming. folks have heard Morgan on the show before, and I think this is just going to be a great fit. And Morgan brings a lot of unique perspective and a lot of great knowledge to the table. So glad to have you.
And thanks. I have to be actually completely honest here. Chazzy was like, "You are in Asia, and if you can't get your ish together and like figure out a way that we can get a consistent cast, I'm gonna fire you, the cast." And I'm like, "All right, I gotta find someone who is worthwhile, talented enough that I can get the cast." And so naturally, Morgan, you seem like a perfect fit. So we're super, super stoked. All joking aside, and guys, it's gonna be awesome. We have you're a fresh voice to the cast, and we started the cast with Corbin, it was three of us, and it was a really cool dynamic. And over time, Chaz and I were like, "Man, it would be really cool if we could kind of maybe look at getting back to that." And I said, "Well, we've been talking to Morgan," and immediately Chaz was like, "Oh my gosh, if she's available, let's lock her in." So we're super stoked to have you, and I think it's going to be awesome.
So I know that we spent a little bit of pre-pro time figuring out what we were going to talk about, but could we just switch it to like 45 minutes of you guys talking about how good I am?
will definitely happen over the course of every episode, so you'll get plenty. And we're off. We're off to a great start.
That's great, yeah.
We're off to a great start. Yeah, so a lot of folks have heard you on the show, Morgan, but just, very briefly, reacquaint people with Morgan.
Okay, I'm Morgan. You might have seen my work on The Meadery if you've known me for over 5 years, or at GatheringMagic.com more recently, or even more recently on Quiet Speculation's Insider side. My first article went up today, and I'm very excited. If you have not seen it yet, it's about what it's like to be a vendor at a GP and what kind of goes along with that that people might not see from the other side of the table. And I'm very excited about continuing to put out articles like that. I also started streaming again today, which I haven't done in a really long time thanks to real life stuff, but now I'm able to get it started again. So you can find my content on youtube.com/MTGValkyrie channel. I used to put up a draft video every weekday. So if you want to know what it's like drafting Modern Masters 2015, I did so much of that, you guys. So you can check that out.
Yeah, and I think too, Morgan, like we've been throwing the idea of you kind of being sort of some more, like some interesting kind of different video series, like maybe every month you'll be throwing out something that's a little bit more even possibly narrative or some interviews, like I think we're going to be getting some really interesting stuff from you.
Yeah, I'm talking to some people in the community for a couple of different videos that I've got going on so far. Some faces that you might not recognize and some faces that are just people that I love in my community who are like really great, have really great like personalities that I just want to showcase.
Awesome.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the first one published. Those two.
Well, as are we. It's going to be cool. And just so you all know, Morgan joining the team and having her on, she is her addition as well as some other additions were something that I announced last week. We did kind of a big QS announcement on sort of the evolution of the company, and I think this is a nice segue to that, so I can sort of vocalize kind of to subscribers and listeners kind of what's happening. If you haven't seen the announcement, you should definitely take a look. It's public and it's free, but we're taking a new approach to Quiet Speculation in that, for the longest time, Kelly's vision started off, in his basement, it was, Grindr Finance. It was squeezing value. It was value chasing. And we realized that ultimately what his goal really was to get people to play more Magic. And so, you know, we have a new exec team. We've really sort of leveled up the team that's managing and running QS, including, you know, Chaz coming on board as sort of a more regular employee, and people like Morgan. And I announced that Jake and Joel, which is another YouTube channel, and we have a Kyle who's a MTGO writer. All these are sort of new additions. And part of this is the new sort of brand vision of just helping people play more Magic. And what that basically means is that you're not going to, none of the old model of how to find value and all the data-driven stuff that we've always been doing, that will remain. But we're expanding our vision and our grounds to include, you know, if a kid just wants to play an EDH deck and doesn't want to have to drop a fortune for it, how can he do that? Or somebody that has no idea, you know, how do I manage my collection? Like, what do I know how much things are worth and what I should do? These very baseline things, we want to get more people playing Magic. That's ultimately the goal of QS. And sort of this new effort in our content is to expand that and just to be able to help as many people play. Along with that, we have heard of all the problems that we're currently experiencing with QS. And I stress that because we know that there are a few issues, technical issues, particularly with trader tools. And frankly, with the website, it's beginning to show its age. I spoke to that in the announcement, and we recognize that. So along with expanding our content, we're looking to, well, I'll be frank, we're doing a complete overhaul. If you check out the article, you'll see some prototype designs of where we're going. And it's, I'll just say one thing. I think it's pretty damn cool. I think, Chaz, you can probably echo that. That the direction we're going in is, we're making it very current. I mean, we're overhauling it, so it's very 2017, 2018. The site's going to be much easier to navigate. It's going to be much faster. It's going to be much more user-friendly, much prettier cosmetically. It's going to be amazing. Part of that overhaul is trader tools, which is something that I really want to emphasize, particularly because I've been a power user of trader tools. I've pushed it to the max. I've used it for all kinds of things that I need to do, just as far as you know, collection management and pricing and doing high volume of cards and management, singles management. And I've seen the limitations that it has. So as a power user, you know, I'm sort of spearheading the UX design for the new trader tools. And I can promise you guys, I'm telling them exactly what it needs to do. I mean, we're going to talk. I mean, to give you just a bit of some context, you're going to be able to filter out spread percentages if you only want to see negative spreads, which I'm sure everybody is. The first thing that comes to mind is, I want to see how I can instantly make money. Well, you're going to be able to filter out spread percentages. You're going to be able to filter sellers, buyers. You're going to be able to just have complete customization over it. It's going to be really, really awesome. I know exactly what you guys want. I hear it in the Discord channel. I use it a lot, so I know what it needs, and we're going to make sure we give that to you. So I just want to speak of that. In Vegas, you know, we had talked about, you know, doing some big announcements of these things in Vegas. And unfortunately, you know, this was, we haven't done a GP. I have not been a part of the company since they've done a GP, and I don't think Kelly done a GP in years. So this was really the first time that we had a booth. So we were going in a little new. We had planned pretty well, but there were some things that we weren't anticipating. And, you know, we ran into some severe technical issues that even in our planning, when we thought of contingencies, we weren't prepared for. The internet at that center was absolutely horrid. And some of the technical things that we wanted to release that are really, really cool, we just couldn't showcase. And we didn't want to give you guys a poor showcase. Obviously, you know, at QS, when we're trying to give you something new, we want to show it off at its best. And we couldn't do that. So we didn't feel like it was best to show them there. And, you know, I do apologize that people were anticipating stuff, and I really do appreciate your patience with that. There are cool things coming. That said, the response at Vegas was insane. We did not expect people to be loving our booth as much as they did. It was helped a little bit by the fact that we were literally adjacent to Rudy's booth. From, he was with Vintage Magic, Rudy from Alpha Investments. I'm sure everybody knows who he is, but he drew a big crowd, and some of that crowd bled over. But even not, it was a combination of, you know, the Channel Fireball team, John Sass and those guys. They really just they set us up so nicely. They give us a great position in the booth, and we just had so much traffic and so many people were stopping by. We had, just to give you a quick idea of what we had a giant white table that had a projector, and it was shooting down the scanner, and we were scanning cards with projector, and people were just showing up in droves to see what it did. They'd never heard of QS. So we had a really great response. And so it was overwhelming. And so, you know, we were working around the clock, and just some of the things we wanted to do, we just weren't able to. So that said, a lot of opportunities came out of Vegas, a lot of larger stores that were very interested in what we're doing and everything with Ion. This was a big showcase for our Ion software, as you all know, is our scanner. So a lot of bigger store chains, very interested. We went from Vegas, we went to Seattle to visit Card Kingdom, who's a client of ours. That was an amazing meeting. You know, a lot of interesting things going on with that partnership. So there's just great, great things coming down the road. And I really want to emphasize that, you know, you guys need to stick around. And I'm glad you're here at this point, because the evolution of this company is, it's going in some really cool directions. So I just want to recap everything that's kind of been happening the past couple of weeks, because I haven't been on the cast. You know, you've seen stuff from me in written form. So I just wanted you guys to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. I'm on Discord. As everybody knows, our Discord channel is badass and it's amazing. And I want to hear everybody's feedback, your questions, your concerns, anything you want to know. Hit up the suggestions and concerns room in the Discord channel. Just communicate. You can DM me, whatever. But definitely, really take advantage of the Discord. Chaz and I are always checking it, and that's really an amazing place. We also have the forums. You can definitely go there as well. But Discord at the moment is just been an excellent means of communication. So that's it. I really wanted to kind of catch everybody up. I wanted to take a few minutes and, you know, let you guys know what's been happening the past couple of weeks. All great things. There's a lot of great movement. I'm actually in Denver right now. I'm on a sales trip. We're doing some more Ion sales, and that's going well. So there's a lot of great developments with the company. And so Morgan coming on, these new content creators, new content strategy, you know, expanding, you know, what we're doing with Ion, the new website, all these things are sort of this QS 2.0, as I labeled it, and where we're going. So that's it, guys. I didn't mean to be a bit long-winded, but I just wanted to make sure you guys had full context.
It's quite all right. You know, just one quick more little thing to kind of wrap that up too before we actually get to the actual stuff. We're going to do an additional announcement too, because, you know, folks, you know, have heard us talk. We've, you know, they've been following along with, especially Tarkan and I, you know, and we've been part of this team. We've been doing a lot at once to, you know, echo what everything that Tarkan has been saying to make sure it goes as smoothly as possible and we get to a really good place as quickly as we can. But we're going to make a further announcement too, because, you know, there's been some shifts, like Tarkan has said, and we want everyone to know kind of who's doing what, and how they can get a hold of us. And, you know, I think it would just be really beneficial. So I'm here for everyone, you know, for those of you that have known, especially in the AMA with Kelly, you know, I'm, you know, been elevated to the community manager, but we wanted to put like the pen to paper and make sure everyone knows that. So just be on the lookout for another announcement.
Yep. And Gen Con, we're going to be doing, you know, we're going to be talking about some more big stuff at Gen Con. So cool stuff down the road. So anyways, all that said, let's go ahead and talk about some cards. Let's talk about some finance.
Yeah. So masterpieces.
The masterpieces.
What do you both think?
I think masterpieces are still kind of an unknown to most of the community, just because they still haven't been around long enough to have like the reserved list effect of just buy them because they're going to be good regardless of what else happens.
Tark, have you seen the recent movement?
I have. And here's the thing. Obviously I'm a sucker for effect, right? We all know this. And I actually, Morgan, I sit on the other side of the coin. I think masterpieces now, not because of the buyouts, but because of Wizards' public, you know, what they've announced publicly, their position on masterpieces, they're much more attractive. When they were, you know, when these things were going to be in every single set, I didn't care. I was like, they're not special anymore. Now they have a real premium quality to them, in my opinion. I particularly like, actually, believe it or not, I particularly like the Amonkhet. For that, the reason for that is because A, they're so affordable right now. I mean, they're at their bottom lows. I think Counterspell, you can find Counterspell for like, you can probably get it around $25, which is probably close to buy list, best buy list, I think is 22 on that. You can probably find them for 25, maybe even 28, something like that. I mean, that's so low for a border and a printing that I am basically 100% confident we will never see again. I don't foresee that these Amon Khet, this border was so poorly received that I don't think that we're going to ever see it again. And I mean, there's not much demand for them now. That, along with the fact that nobody liked them, I think that down the road, typically what happens with things that everybody hates, particularly these like quirky premium sort of offerings, what usually ends up happening is they become trendy at some point. People go, well, actually, these are kind of cool. Like, I've never seen this, right? And there ends up being this period of time where all of a sudden, this crappy Amon Khet border is suddenly kind of cool. Maybe it's, I don't want to say retro, but maybe it's like, you know, so unique or so different, or it just kind of catches on. So I actually love the Amon Khet ones. I love Masterpiece in general, given Wizards' new position. I'm a buy on these if you can get them low. I know what's going on with the buyouts. To be frank with you, I think the buyouts are an indication that people are actually taking taking action on the perspective that I hold, which is, oh wait, these aren't coming anymore. These are going to be limited. These are suddenly going to be special. All right, time to start moving. It's time to start buying these out. I don't condone anybody to go buy out. You know how we stand at PQS. Do not go buy out. Buy these cards out. But you know, start getting them where you can. I think they're.
Yeah, and I wanted to throw this in because Efren is someone who frequents the Discord and talks, and you know, is very visible on Discord. I had to throw this in: the Masterpiece Theater. I think that was very apt for this episode. So yeah, I had a couple of conversations, and you know, Morgan and I talked about this before we recorded. You know, these are kind of cards that are pseudo reserveless, like Morgan said, and I think that's kind of what other people have kind of adopted, is that these are pseudo reserveless, especially like these super premium cards that are never going to be reprinted. Like, obviously the cards themselves can be reprinted, but not in this style. Cool. And I do think a lot of it right now is hype driven, but there is opportunities there. There were some very inexpensive ones that probably shouldn't have been that inexpensive. And folks have, you know, found that opportunity and have already benefited from that. So kudos to those folks. But I do think that will taper off a little bit coming, you know, in the coming months. But mostly these cards won't go back to those insane lows that we've seen them, especially stuff like Chromatic Lantern and that kind of stuff. I think the interesting ones are, there's a few of them that were never printed in foil before. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't checked on all of them. I'm sure it's in the process of increasing dramatically. But Sphere of Resistance is one of them that, like, yeah, never saw a foil printing before. And its only foil printing is in the Masterpiece series. Similarly, Lotus Petal, which was just the recent one that increased. I know it has a From the Vault. But short of that, I don't think people really like that printing. So we'll just discard that one. This is like the real kind of foil premium printing that people were waiting for. And Lotus Petal has seen some increased play, especially from what I know of one versus one commander with Chrome Mox being banned and all this fast mana being banned. It's like the only fast mana card like left at this point. So it has seen some increased demand in that regard. But the one question I kind of wanted to pose, because Morgan has more of a more general knowledge for, you know, multiplayer EDH and the more general EDH kind of mindset. At what point, like, because we're seeing a little bit of pushback now that these have increased so much, like, at what point do folks not buy into this and they just buy, like, the $2 or $3, you know, alternative?
Well, one of the things that I saw in myself specifically, but also in a lot of, like, just groups that were playing at my stores, was this kind of resistance to playing mainstream cards. So, like,
do you mean mainstream as in, like, based on their utility, or do you mean mainstream, oh, I want the promo foil rando art for?
Well, no, if you go to EDH Rec, this is a 95% of the decks in this color or whatever. Okay. And so I think that people will be digging into the more like alternative versions. So not damnation, but mutilate or something and for their mono black deck. But at the same time, I think that people will be looking for the cooler versions of it. So I might be playing Desolation Angel, but I'm going to be playing the shiny Desolation Angel. So the fact that all of the masterpieces that were printed aren't necessarily like at the peak of playability is probably actually working in their favor at this point.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's interesting. And I think this kind of goes with what Tarkan said too. And kind of where I was going is that some of these might taper off, but the kind of the hard staples or even the stuff that's even on the come up, people kind of look for those premium cards. And like I said, I mean, I think we're kind of just in a hype period and everyone's in this sort of hysteria. That being said, I think it was just a matter of time. I foresaw them being a little more gradual. And I think it's just, and the reason I kind of say it's hype driven right now is because, I mean, not many of the expeditions are seeing a lot of, you know, maybe one of them I saw in like the past few days has seen any kind of attention. I don't know if it's just like we're starting like the train and it just hasn't gotten to that station yet, because we've certainly seen that happen before where the train has to kind of get through a bunch of stops first before it, it lands to the other cards. So we could just be in that like scenario. Me personally, I do like the next level play of masterpieces or the invocations. I know they might be, you know, there's a smaller market for them, but I personally like them. And I think a lot of people actually will start to like them now that they, you know, now that the block is complete and we're moving on and you basically can never, they're never, like Tarkan said, and I think it's true, is that they're never going to try that again. They're never going to print that in that style again. So they're basically like locked in a time vessel and never going to come out. The masterpiece, like that style could come back. Like the expedition, that style could come back. That was a very like generic kind of border and style. But the invocations, I think, are one of a kind. And you do have some premier cards in there, like Blood Moon, like Damnation, like Omniscience. And if those ever get to a point where they're pretty cheap, I would start looking at those as well.
Here's the interesting thing about, let's take, for example, like Blood Moon Invocation, right? Like when I think about the customer profile for a Blood Moon, it's a highly competitive player. Most of those players, if they're pimping out their, like, okay, if a highly competitive player is pimping out his deck, which is what you would think that an invocation would be for, usually they like the standard foil version. And again, just based on the response of, you know, the majority of the responses that I've heard to the invocations has been not that great. Like something like Blood Moon sits in this interesting position where it's a high competitive staple, but then it has this frame and it has this masterpiece that's like, you know, a lot of people don't like. So I could see something like Blood Moon being at this point where everybody people kind of ignore it because the competitive players don't really want it because it doesn't look cool. EDH players, well, I mean, I guess it's using EDH too, but it's, I don't actually, Morgan, can you speak on this? I honestly don't know, but is Blood Moon like a hard high end staple for EDH?
It's not. If you get into like the more cutthroat play groups, there's probably a guy with a Blood Moon deck because either that's just how like busted his opponent's decks are or how funny he thinks it is.
Exactly. So like it doesn't, and that's what I do. So it's not a super casual card. So it sits in this interesting place where it could actually dip. And then there could be an opportunity because that's the kind of card. And I hate to say this, but there's going to be people that do it. That's the kind of card that could get bought out, and then suddenly, just based on scarcity, start to go up because the hoarders are just like, well, I've got all these like Blood Moons that nobody wanted because casual people don't really care about Blood Moons. Competitive people don't like that, like don't like Blood Moons for their pimp deck. So it's interesting. Like I'm actually looking at these, particularly for the invocations, I'm looking at the like hard, like modern staples, the competitive staples. And I'm going, okay, like most people are not going to pimp their deck with an Amonkhet invocation Blood Moon. They're just, or a Thoughtseize. Like a lot of people, I don't think are necessarily going to want to do that, which means that they, I think, are in very interesting positions. Like I can see the casual ones getting scooped up really hard. And then I could see you know, the tournament ones, like they could end up dipping and then suddenly out of nowhere they start going. So I don't know. That's just another thing to kind of think about. And that's a kind of a way that I'm sort of looking at those ones.
Yeah. So I'm kind of glad we covered that. And for the sake of like not being hysterical about this anymore, I think a general like buy on these is definitely fine going forward. Because, you know, for a long time, they were not that great of a purchase. I mean, they were flatlined. I mean, they were, if not dipping a little bit. But since the announcement, I mean, I think we've talked about this briefly on Discord when the announcement happened. And then it kind of just fell to the wayside. But, you know, when those announcements do happen, it's kind of just like, it just clicks that, oh, they're not going to be as frequent. But let's just kind of pump the brakes a little bit that, just because they're not going to be as frequent doesn't mean they're never doing them again. So don't expect like this to be like super crazy, but I mean, there has been opportunities, so I can't discount that.
Well,
so
and don't forget too that, I mean, there's plenty of sealed. I mean, look, again, the old rule applies. Like, the second these things start becoming too valuable, well, then you start cracking boxes. I mean, look, BFC boxes you can get so easy. I mean, if there was something that happened to Matt to the expedition, you just start cracking, you know, big stores will just start cracking boxes. So just be very careful, tread carefully. Don't respond to your buy, you know, don't make base your buying behavior off of buyouts and the hype. Like, just don't do that. I'm interested in the strictly based on Wizards announcement, and I think that they're in a much better position for long term, you know, in the long term.
Well, Chaz, you and I talked about the rampant growth spike recently.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that's like a parallel for this a couple years down the road?
I don't know what's going on, or the Magic Player Reward stuff.
Yeah. Like the rampant growth being stuff. Like the latest one, but there's been a bunch that have gotten really popular.
Yeah, those are, I mean, again, those are... Who knows when if they'll ever do the I'm kind of upset they stopped the Magic Player Rewards, me personally, but it doesn't seem like it's coming back anytime soon. The thing is like I can speak to I had a couple of the full art condemns actually just like randomly. Those did not seem to sell as quickly once they spiked. Like I think I basically sold them for what they almost were before the spike. And that's just kind of how it played out. But I don't know. They're very weird. And the ones that do increase are like, I know a couple of them are kind of unilateral, but the other ones are more ubiquitous rather. But the other ones seem very weird. I asked you about rampant growth because to me, I barely play rampant growth in EDH. And that's kind of the only place I would even see it because it's not like constructed and there's like 500 printings. So I don't know. I really don't know on those.
Well, if you look at the eBay listings for them, it looks like a couple of people have managed to sell rampant growths at their inflated price.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. If some of them are, you know, hard commander staples, which I think is the only reason any of them would increase. There was that condemned one, but then, like I said, I mean, I just didn't see many people buying it at the inflated price. So they would have to be like very specific circumstances.
Yeah. And like, I'm not saying that the rampant growth one, like rampant growth specifically is a great example, but I think the player rewards as a whole, like that category could be a pretty good example if you're looking for a model for what might happen to the masterpieces and the invocations and stuff a couple of years down the road.
Yeah. Because I mean, a lot of them are pretty cheap, but there's some that have increased and stuck. Namely, like Negate, Mana Leak, Lightning Helix. So some of them really stick, some of them not so much. But if you look through them, there are a few decent ones in there that could be interesting. So I actually do like that parallel a lot. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Lightning Bolt was a huge one. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so moving on. So on the subject of interest, we talked about the Rampant Growth and Magic Player Rewards. Definitely like those. Masterpieces. Morgan and I were talking about a really cool. It's like first cast. Morgan and I are definitely locked in on the same on the same choice here. So that's sweet. And I feel like I've talked about this before, and it was kind of always in the back of my mind. And I was like, you know, this is like a really sweet mythic, and it never sees any play. And then Morgan, you brought up the Colossi deck. So is this like finally time that we could like look at Herald of Anguish again?
You
is
know,
it finally
actually,
time?
What? I was thinking about it, and I've been on a podcast where I've said Herald of Anguish as like my pick for something that's supposed to be really powerful soon, too. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a powerful card. It's just never seen play worth anything, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big deal. Yeah, I'm really excited for this because the reason that Herald of Anguish is suddenly in the spotlight again, for those of you who were not watching the Invitational over the weekend, is that Brian Koval, the person who won the Invitational, was playing Grixis Colossus in Standard. And man, is this a deck after my own heart. It's got a lot of mythics in it, and most of them cost more than five mana. It's got a lot of artifacts in it. It's Grixis. Like, this deck is great. And at the top of its creature curve are two Herald of Anguish, which is super exciting.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, I don't need a reason.
I lied. Herald of Anguish is the second least expensive creature in the deck.
Right. The Colossi, technically. I mean, come on.
And the Elder Deep Fiend, yeah.
Oh, right. Elder Deep Fiend's eight? Yeah. And these are like sub $2, I feel like.
Wait, Morgan, is that a hint for saying that you have like a stack of Herald of Anguishes that are just like you're just waiting to not only cash out on, but just build like hits around?
I have one Herald of Anguish that I like drafted early in Aether Revolt, but it had already plummeted. So I'm holding on to it out of spite more than anything else.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Aur here soon and kind of touch on it a little bit, but is that a deck that can just keep going throughout, you know, the Amonkhet or Aur Devastation release and something we see at Pro Tour? Because if that's the case, then we're definitely going to see an increase.
I can see this as being a good place to start for teams, okay, especially since it's got like the Fatal Pushes and the Kozilek's Returns that make it pretty good against like the aggro decks of the format.
Nice. Sweet. So if it's having success early on, then we can even see it as early as, you know, first weekend, that, you know, folks are seeing Herald of Anguish getting casted all day into the top eight, maybe even the finals. I think that's a lock that the card would increase at least somewhat, enough to make it worthwhile.
Are there any other decks there that are like not super highlighted? Again, like I love to like go through these decks that do well. And
it's funny you ask. Actually, Morgan brought up the other mythic that was long forgotten and no one remembered is Sky Sovereign.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's okay. How many were in the deck? One?
I think it was two. Yeah, two.
Okay.
There you go.
And that's dirt as well. Like, you can get that one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's not dirt. That's probably, what, $1, $2, a couple dollars?
It's dirt.
It's called what it is.
It's dirt. I saw these in, like, the $1 bin. Come on. No one's buying these. No, I think it was on sale not too long ago for, like, $1. That's why I saw it there. I was like, wow, this is really crazy.
Well, takeaway here is look at these mythics, pay very close attention to them, and go ahead and scoop up. I mean, scoop them. I mean, they're so low right now, you might as well get them.
Yeah, I mean,
deck first performing.
Haladesh and Aether Revolt are still in Standard for a very long time.
Yeah.
So, unless they change like the rotation schedule yet again.
Again.
Kaladesh and Aether Revolt are in Standard for quite some time. So.
I don't think Wizards of the Coast would do that to us, right, guys?
Definitely.
No.
Yeah, Efren, I think for Dark Intimations, I'm gonna have to like shoot something special for the end of Dark Intimations where we barely knew ye. I might light a bonfire, might do something else. I don't know. I'm gonna have to do something really crazy with those. They're still sitting there. There's like a huge stack of them.
Well, it's time to cash them out. You got them for dimes, or did you pay 25 cents?
I paid a quarter.
Oh, well. You break even. You can buy them for a quarter.
All right, fair enough. Really quickly, just because, I mean, there's not a huge amount to talk about because we just have one card, but, you know, Morgan and I did talk about the new commander reveal / leak. It was kind of like on the... I was like on the GameStop store or something like that. I think that's how folks data mine this. And looks really sweet. The card looks really awesome. Might actually be talking about banning already because we looked, the track record of Command Zone commanders that do something like this not very good. They get banned pretty quickly, so kind of sucks. But the card is really sweet and has sparked a lot of ripples in terms of cat stuff. I know already, like, Miricat Warrior, which makes sense because it only had one foil printing in 10th Ed, and 10th Ed's, like, eons old already by this point. There's a few other ones. Jedit, something of Afara, something like that, like from Time Spiral. You got Raksha, Golden Cub. So you got some really weird ones that are just really old, and, you know, the foils looked like prime because no demand for them, and then suddenly there was demand because of this one cat legend, which was actually awesome, and then the foils like evaporated instantly. And I actually was able to scoop up one foil Miricat legend, the 10th Ed one, and I scooped up a couple foil Fleece Mane Lion and the foil Jedit and a foil Jareth from Eternal Master. Uktabi Wildcat 7th Ed foils, which look actually really amazing, are also gone.
It's interesting because, you know, every time that they're introducing they're sort of emphasizing a new tribe, you know, cats now are like going to be a thing. It always makes me very interested in things like, you know, coat of arms effects, right? Things that are like tribal cards, because tribal is obviously, and everyone loves tribal, but when you introduce more tribes, you just spark that much more interest. So, you know, I'm curious, and to be honest, I haven't done enough research into what effect tribal effects are currently at some decent lows that would be really interesting to kind of pick up. But, you know, anytime that's like, oh, we've got a new tribe, or there's an emphasis on a tribe, it's like, oh, these tribal cards suddenly, you know, some of them, you know, have the potential to see some little bumps. So I think it was like Automaton, like that thing from
Advanced Automaton.
Yeah, exactly. Like things like that. Those are stuff that I'm kind of interested in looking at, because, I mean, obviously the cat stuff is it's very obvious, conspicuous, but it's kind of like, okay, well, what things that are focused on tribal could be interesting now that there's a whole new tribe that's getting some focus.
Well, I actually wanted to go like beyond that. I think like just going forward, these commander decks are going to create increases no matter what.
Yep.
So whether it be tribal, I think these commander sets, and because the player base is so huge and commander is such a thing now, and I think there was a comment, I think like Jake Temkin made a comment. Yeah, commander's where modern is a couple of years ago. And I think that's a good point. We finally got there, that the player base is large enough and the format is large enough. And, you know, for all the people that have kind of pushed the commander stuff over the years, and, you know, everyone's very versed in this. I think it's just also a testament to how great the products are themselves. Like, if the products weren't even that good, that'd be one thing. But the products have been getting progressively better.
Yep.
And it just generates so much hype. So I just don't think, like, we don't have to analyze this each time it happens. Just assume it's going to happen. And I think that's, like, the big takeaway here to kind of prepare folks for being ahead of the curve here, is that, you know, don't think, just know that this is likely going to happen.
I think initially, going back to what Tarkin was saying about the tribal specific stuff, though, I'm a little bit more cautious about that than I am about like Regal Caracal foils, because the all of the tribal stuff is around $5 now, like your Door of Destinies, your coat of arms and stuff like that. And that's the kind of stuff that is very likely to be just reprinted in a couple of these decks.
Yep.
That's true. That's a good point.
So it's like mostly the very old stuff, like the Miri, like the Raksha, that have more to do with, you know, building around a specific general than, Morgan's right. I mean, coat of arms, that kind of stuff easily gets a reprint. Foils, if you can find the foils, are definitely the way to go. Especially in this format, that's probably the first priority from this point forward.
So to incorporate your perspective, Morgan, and if you guys don't have an answer, this is totally cool. But is there anything off the top of both of your heads that goes, okay, this is an old foil that has it's less likely to be reprinted in one of these sets? Like, remember Coalition Relic
was the last commander, you know, everyone was like, oh, that's the one to buy because it's likely not going to get reprinted. Is there something that, you know, enables, it's a tribal effect, it's old, it has, you know, that you can think of that has, you know, a low probability of reprint that could be picked up in like foil?
Well, even with the foils they print in the set, though, I think it's going to be hard for these specific cards to have a foil. So I think picking up the foils like the coat of arms and stuff like that is still fine. Just I wouldn't be picking up non-foils of that, any of this stuff. Like Door of Destinies was in one of the comments. That's a good one too. I'm trying to think of other ones.
There's a card from Champions of Kamigawa that I had back in the day in, gosh, what was that cat legendary? Kemba. I had in my Kemba deck. It is tribal. Kanda's Banner is...
Kanda's Banner.
Good. Yeah.
Kanda's Banner. I like that one.
Yeah.
Banner.
It's currently around $12. And depending on how aggressive some of these tribes can be, I think it would be a pretty sweet.
What's the non-foil card of that?
To see. It's $5.
Yeah,
you
I
just guess
even mess
that,
with
it's,
that.
That all of this stuff is like $5.
Yeah, yeah, that's where it generally. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like that even at 12.
I like that. I actually do like it. That's the kind of thing that not reprinted. And again, that's another one that the likelihood of reprint is probably significantly low. And the foil could just end up being, you know?
Yep. So covered that. So let's just talk about Hour of Devastation. We got the full reveal. What
can
do
I
we
ask
think?
You guys, can I ask you both a question as we move into that? Well, I'll ask you, Chaz. So is Morgan up to speed, Chaz, on your savvy pre-sales?
I actually talked about that last week. Morgan is not, but I will talk about that again next week.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, yeah, yeah. I actually talked about that last week, though. Yeah.
So Morgan, do you I'm assuming you don't pre-selling game at all, do you? Do you like, you know, do you try and pick up cards and pre-sell them or do anything like that?
I used to do a little bit of it, and then I did a lot of that sort of stuff when I was at the stores that I was at.
Okay. Yeah.
And mostly was on the cracking pack side of it, but I got to see a little bit of the online stuff as well.
Got it. Okay.
Awesome. But yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit again, or I'll just kind of recap again next week.
Can I just ask you quickly, just 2 seconds? Did you do it this time around?
I did. I was actually. It was just as good, if not better, than Amon Kep, because this set is loaded with like EDH good stuff. Like it is loaded.
It is.
And, that's true. Yeah.
I actually think it's just, while on paper it might, you know, I might not end up with the same, but to me it's also a win because I scaled back more, and instead of like sending out like 35 envelopes, like which is probably peanuts to a lot of people. It's just a lot for me, the quantity for me to send out at the end, like just to sit down and send out. So I kind of just scaled it back a little bit. And I think for me, it's just more worthwhile because I don't have to spend as much time packaging all this and sending it out. So again, to some folks, like that might not be anything for some folks here. I just scaled it back to work for me, but Hour was very good. Yeah. Just to kind of reiterate again.
Well, I look forward to recap.
Sorry, I have this like grandfather clock going off. Hold on.
I can't hear it.
Yeah, I don't hear it either.
All right, I have to edit that out. But so Morgan and I were talking about our cards. We're just going to go through this very quickly. Reiterate our kind of our choices for this week, and then wrap up because we're kind of getting close to that time. Morgan wrote, you know, you discuss Hour of Devastation, Imminent Doom, which I'm going to question you on because I think that's interesting, and Resilient Kenra, which I absolutely 100% back because I'm very into that card. But Hour of Devastation, aptly named after the set, might actually be the best card in the set. So that could be really cool. I don't know if they plan that out because it's Wizards, but...
Yeah, yeah, I think that a Wrath in another color other than white is going to be really good, especially since it looks like they're kind of pushing a ramp deck this time around. So, like, that might be an option for the decks that aren't playing Kozilek's Return.
Yeah, In the same vein, though, do you like Hour of Promise? Because at the same end, this is like Hour of Devastation might stay a couple bucks just because people kind of know it's okay, and then it still increases a little bit. But Hour of Promise will likely go way under a dollar, and then suddenly, you know, could, you know, creep back up to a couple bucks. Because I was talking to Seth about this, and he hasn't crunched the numbers yet. But it, from the preliminary looks of it, the EV of this set is super low. So either one or two things are going to happen. One card that we know of right now is being undervalued in terms, like, I think it's probably a mythic, and I think it's the Scarab God. Which, and some of this other stuff will shake out, like Samet will go even probably lower. Nicol Bolas will decrease. All this other stuff will decrease. The Scarab God will likely increase. I liked your choice also on that list, Crested Sunmare, you talked about a little bit, Morgan. Mm-hmm. I also like, in that same vein of five drops, I like Majestic Myriarch, which is weird mm-hmm. because it looks like a do-nothing card, but it could actually do some really crazy stuff.
I mean, it sure has a lot of words on it, Chaz.
It does. Apparently, it's getting errata. I don't know why, but it's getting an errata. I don't think it makes it any worse, but needed one. So the only other thing that's going to happen is a lot of these rares that are like basically near bulk, like coming out of the, like since release, are going to start creeping up to like $2 or $3 each. And that's really like the great margins, is buying up these play sets of like Hour of Promise or something like that at, you know, $2 or $3 and then selling them for like $9.99 or $10.99 each. I mean, that's a real great margin right there.
Well, yeah. And go ahead, Morgan. Sorry.
One of the things about Hour of Promise, because that's where you were. Well, okay. Nimble Obstructionist was brought up too, and that one's like $6. Hour of Promise is really, it's like $2. So, like, one of the things to note about Hour of Promise is you put 2 land cards onto the battlefield, which means that you can get your Gaia's Cradle or, you know, your Core Haven or your Rogue's Passage in Commander.
I'm cool with it.
And people pay 4 for Explosive Vegetation, and they would totally pay 6 for Primeval Titan if they could. So I think that 5 is not a huge cost for the ability to put, you know, Urborg and Cabal Coffers onto the battlefield.
Yeah, and in Standard, I mean, at least right now, you can throw in 2 Shrine of the 2 Shrine of Forgotten
Forsaken Gods.
Forsaken Gods, there we go. Or 2 of the Shrine. There's mm-hmm. Shrine, and then there's the other one, the Sanctum. There we go. So there's a lot of like weird things that you do, and then you can do, and then randomly you can like create a 2/2 black zombie for free.
Yeah.
So it's not as bad as people think, and it's, you know, with Marvel being banned, people kind of have to go to the traditional fair ramp, these ramp strategies of, you know, not playing Marvel. So Hour of Promise kind of looks like that will be the one. Like the card that kind of brings it all together. So
you guys, I have a question for you too. What about these? I think it's like the Wrath, the Bantus, whatever, for 3 mana. These ones that force you to not untap your lands on your following turn. I think that these things are actually have tons and tons of potential. I think that they're not as bad as people think. But I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on those.
They might be as bad as people think, or worse.
Really?
Yeah, short of like maybe the black one or the green one, like those abilities for that mana and then not having the card, like the lands untapped, is just not very good. Like Kefnet's Last Word is a exhaustion for a mind control. Like, it's not even that great. It would be much better if it got like Planeswalkers or something like that. But as it is now, I just don't think a lot of the effects fit the mana cost and then the exhaustion. Like Hazard's Undying Fury, there's no way you're paying for that. Like, there's no way you're going to be playing.
Man, these cards would be great if you cast them off Expertises, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that actually would be a lot better. But only, 3 of them could really, more often than not, see or get casted off Expertise, like Bantus, Oketras, and Ronas.
Kefnet's could be 2. Baral's Expertise costs 5.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But again, I think they're, even if they were to see play, it's like a one of, maybe a two of. I just don't think they're bona fide four ofs. But you did say imminent doom. Is that like commander or is that, could that be like a sort of pseudo Dynavolt Tower like thing?
I was seeing,
because that's actually really like interesting.
A Dynavolt Tower variant than anything else. It reminded me, you know what it reminded me of? Is it Burning Rage? The Shrine of Burning Rage, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. That's what it reminded me of a lot, actually. And yeah, it looks kind of crappy, but if you're curving out starting from turn one on turn four, like, that's super sweet.
Okay, turn one on turn four,
Okay, that's, you know what? Bad. But you probably skipped your first, like, three turns because you were busy casting Ronus's Last Stand or something. So, like, I think this is, it has a lot of potential and it gives you a lot of reach. Although now that you say it, Dynavolt Tower might just be a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you throw it in as a one of like a pseudo fourth copy, but, yeah, I would be really surprised if it sees, play, but you threw it on there. So maybe it could happen.
I want it to happen so bad.
You want it to happen. So it'll likely happen. I think, you know, we all kind of talked about it and it's all kind of like out there in the open that the Scarab God is a good card, but I think we'll see very soon that the Scarab God's a great card, because one of these mythics just has to do something. I can't see every one of these mythics just tanking.
No, something will show up at the Pro Tour. I mean,
it has to, like, or maybe on Cage of Menagerie.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's just very reminiscent of Dragons of Tarkir, which also had ridiculously low EV at release. And then look what happened, you know? I mean, I don't think that there's an Ojutai that's so obvious this time around. But yeah, I mean, the Scarab God, are, like, there's going to be something that pops. These rares that are just so low, some of them are going to end up creeping up. Like, they just have to. Like, the value is going to just kind of climb up. So, I mean, honestly, when these sets drop like this, it's usually great opportunity for people that, you know, kind of want to get into these floors and pick up stuff, because it's just, you know, the EV can't stay that significant. I mean, I suppose I technically could, but I mean, that likelihood of that happening next
time. Yeah. All right. I think we covered everything. This is awesome. Just to recap, because we didn't like kind of definitively have a, we're all picking this kind of thing. Morgan and I liked Herald of Anguish. Morgan threw out an awesome choice in Foil Conda's Banner.
Yep.
I actually have a reserve list pick for Tarkan because you didn't do your homework this week.
I didn't.
So, and that's actually a pun on both levels because I'm also a professor. But so you fail. But
the
I got you.
Jokes are really
don't
good
worry.
When you explain them to Chaz.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, you know, people don't get it, so I have to like kind of explain it because they're bad. But it's all right. I got you. Master of the Wild Hunt. It's not actually mine. Like Sig kind of mentioned it last week, but I don't even think people remembered Sig saying it, so it's okay. Yeah, they don't care, so they already forgot about that. So I'm gonna choose it again this week because I actually like that card and I actually own that card, and it's a really
sweet
card.
That's not the card that you mean to say, just so you know.
Oh, is it? It's something. It's, oh, that's the
you said it correctly the last time. That one's the M10 one.
Oh no, Master of the Hunt.
I think it's Master of the Hunt.
Master of the Wild Hunt is that green.
Oh, is that green
thing.
Mythic? Yeah, don't worry about. No, don't.
Yeah, don't. Please don't. Yeah, don't, please don't buy that one.
Don't go. don't even worry about that one. Master of the Hunt. I think it's from Legends.
Yeah, it is.
It's from Legends. Okay. Yeah, it's 2/2 green. It does some cool stuff, but it's a really cool card, and it's green, so definitely gets my vote of confidence. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right, great. And really quickly, did you your other kind of not pick but pick was like bulk rares?
Yeah, okay. So right. I wanted to go into this. So my picks aren't technically picks this week. I definitely, like I mentioned earlier, we talked about masterpieces. I'm on the Amonkhet masterpieces. Given everything we spoke about, I love those. I'm also I'm gonna give a nod to DJ here. I am buying bulk rares as much as I can. In Vegas, I sat down with a longtime floor trader by the name of Matthew Ogre Stevens. You guys may or may not know him by Ogre, but he had explained to me that the bulk rare market right now is incredibly soft. At the event, the average buy price for bulk rares from vendors was 7 cents. Yeah, 7 cents. In fact, I believe it was Pink Bunny, maybe Troll and Toad. No, I'm pretty sure it was Pink Bunny was paying 5 cents for bulk rares, and people were selling them to them. So right now, it's very, very soft market. A lot of people are not buying bulk rares. Channel, I know, is only paying 8 cents for bulk rares. So these things are just the demand for bulk rares. I guess we're going through a cycle. So I'm just aggressively getting bulk rares. I mean, you might be able to go out and in trades, be able to throw out, hey, if you don't want to go through the hassle of shipping these, I'll give you 8 or 9 cents. And some people might go for it. And you're not necessarily ripping them off. You're telling them, yeah, you could send them in for 10 cents. But, you know, if you want cash now, I can do that, or in trade. So you might be able to find some really good deals just because the market for bulk rares is very soft. But I'm definitely on bulk rares. I think that it's a great time to be getting those. So, and just to give you guys an idea of what's going on in the market from that end, it's very, very soft right now. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that does it this week. Where can they find you on the internet, Morgan?
You can find me on Twitter at MTGValkyrie, or on Twitch now, twitch.tv/mindofmeriden, which is linked to on my Twitter channel, and then on YouTube at youtube.com/MTGValkyrie channel, and then on Quiet Speculation, where you can see my content both on the insider and free sides.
Hey, there we go. Nice. Tark, where can they find you?
Twitter at @V_Tark, T-A-R-K. So an admin over the EG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me all anytime over there. And I host the QS Cast, and I work with QS, so you can always.
Awesome. Yeah, at ChazVMTG on Twitter, best place to find me. On the Discord channel, everything QS related, insider articles, QS Cast, everything. I do it all. So, but Twitter's the best place to find me. That was a great cast. Morgan, it's awesome to have you. This is going to be great going forward. So welcome to the team.
Thanks.
Very wholeheartedly welcome to the team. Glad to have you.
Yeah, felt like you'd always been around. Stoked.
Yeah. We will do this again next time. This is going to be the QS Cast signing out. See you all next time.
Cheers. Bye.